Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10. We want to read verses 11 through 16. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. This is our Lord speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In these verses, Jesus identified himself twice as the good shepherd. This morning in our lesson, we studied a number of statements from the Gospel of John where Jesus revealed some very important information about himself. And we look briefly at these verses, but Jesus clearly identified himself as the good shepherd. He didn't say that once, but in these verses he actually said it twice. But not only did Jesus identify himself as the good shepherd, but he explained why he is the good shepherd. For one thing, Jesus gave his life for the sheep. He mentioned that in verse 11. He also mentioned it in verse 15. So that's one reason why Jesus is the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. But there's another reason why Jesus indicated that he's the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. We learn that from verse 14. Jesus compared himself to an hireling. That is, one who is hired to tend the sheep. He doesn't really care for the sheep because he doesn't have a close bond with them. He's just simply doing a job. And when danger approaches, he's not going to take on the danger. He's going to flee. He's going to run. Why? Because he's concerned about himself. Well, what about the good shepherd? The good shepherd is going to stand there, and he's going to take on that predator, whatever it is. Why? Because he has an intimate relationship with his sheep. He loves his sheep. And his sheep know that. They know him, and they listen to what he has to say. So not only did Jesus declare two times in these verses that he is the good shepherd, but he explained why he is the good shepherd. And our lesson this evening, we want to deal with this particular matter that the Lord is the good shepherd. But in doing so, we want to look at passages from each of the gospel accounts that actually demonstrate to us how Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, Jesus declared in John chapter 10 that he's the good shepherd, and he explained why he is the good shepherd. But we want to look at some additional passages in the gospel accounts that demonstrate how Jesus is the good shepherd. We want to see him in action. And we will see that the Lord truly is the good shepherd. Not just a shepherd, but he is the good shepherd. Let's begin with the gospel of Matthew. Turn to chapter 9. We want to point out that Jesus demonstrated how he is the good shepherd by sending his disciples out to reach lost sheep. And of course, he did that when he gave the limited commission. So Jesus showed how he is the good shepherd by sending his disciples out on the limited commission. Look at verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9, and we are informed from this verse that Jesus reached many people during his ministry. We dealt with this verse not long ago to illustrate that very point. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew emphasizes that particular point in his gospel. He makes several summary statements of the Lord's work. And he showed that Jesus traveled from place to place, taking advantage of opportunities to teach and preach, also to heal people of their various diseases and illnesses. It would be interesting to know how many people Jesus reached by himself. Now, there's no way we can know that. But you think about all the traveling that the Lord did. Now, this was in a period of about 3 years or so. But Jesus was devoted to reaching as many people as possible. And it would just be interesting to know how many people he actually did reach by himself. But even though the Lord reached many people himself, we learn from verse 36 that he was not able to reach everyone. This is what the Lord saw. Verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." When Jesus observed the multitudes, he saw people who were still in need of that which he was able to provide. He had reached many people himself, but he had not been able to reach everyone. So what did he do? Jesus got his disciples involved in finding lost sheep. He first told his disciples to pray about the situation, verses 37 and 38. "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Jesus told his disciples to pray about the situation. But Jesus went further. As we examine Matthew chapter 10, we see that Jesus sent the disciples out on the limited commission. Let's read a few verses beginning at verse 1. This is chapter 10, verse 1. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Now, the Lord had some additional things to say to his disciples as he sent them out on the limited commission. Right now, we're trying to emphasize the fact that although the Lord reached many people himself, he was unable to reach everyone. So he got his disciples involved in doing the very same work that he had been doing. And he sent them out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why this is called the limited commission. He said, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, only go to the children of Israel, the Jewish people. That's why this is called the limited commission. Now, as we examine what the Lord did on this occasion, we see him demonstrating the fact that he is the good shepherd. You see, he sent his disciples out on the limited commission to find lost sheep that he had not found. Now, that's the sign of a good shepherd. He wants to find as many sheep as possible. And while he can't find all the sheep himself, he sends out others to do the work with him. In my judgment, Jesus showed in a powerful way why he is the good shepherd. Now let's turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4. We want to point out that Jesus showed how he is the good shepherd by calming a storm. This is one of the great miracles that the Lord was involved in during his ministry, providing evidence to show that he truly is the Son of God. Mark chapter 4, let's start at verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. That is the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Now this is a fishing boat. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? While the Lord and his followers were crossing the Sea of Galilee, a great storm arose. Now, I've never been to that area, but I've done a little bit of reading about it. I understand that because of the topography of the land, that the wind can come down the mountains and can cause a great storm very quickly on the Sea of Galilee. And they can be quite rough. Well, that's what happened on this occasion. Our Lord was with his disciples. They were going across the Sea of Galilee in fishing boats. And a great storm arose. Now Jesus demonstrated his divine power by causing the wind to cease, and then the sea became calm. Wouldn't it have been interesting to see that happen? Well, the disciples were present, and they were greatly impressed with the Lord's divine power. The point that I want to make is this. On this occasion, Jesus showed that he is the good shepherd by not allowing his disciples to be overcome by that storm. Now, did the Lord prevent it from occurring? No, he did not. Did he have the power to prevent it from occurring? Oh, yes. We know that because he stopped it. So the Lord had the power to prevent it from happening. But the Lord did allow that storm to arise, and he allowed his disciples to deal with it for a little while. However, he proved very clearly on this occasion that he's the good shepherd because he did not allow the disciples to be overcome by the storm. Now, having said that, let's tie in a passage of scripture from the New Testament letters. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, There hath no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Jesus demonstrated how he is the good shepherd in the Gospel of Matthew by sending his disciples on the limited commission. In the Gospel of Mark, he demonstrated the fact that he's the good shepherd by calming a storm. He did not allow his disciples to be overcome by that storm. I think about a shepherd who might be out in the field with his sheep. You know, a great storm could come up. What's the good shepherd going to do? He's going to take care of his sheep. He's not going to leave them. He's going to help them go through that storm, and he's going to try to find shelter. But he's not going to leave his sheep. He's going to stay there with them. He's going to protect them to the very best of his ability. I've always thought it was interesting that on this occasion that we just read about in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus was asleep. If you'll back up earlier to what happened in this chapter, you'll find that our Lord had been teaching. He was tired. And on this ship, surrounded by his sheep, our Lord went to sleep. Was he concerned when that storm came up? Well, he must have been very tired. The disciples were filled with anxiety. Master, do you care that we're going to die out here in this storm? Of course our Lord cared. He saved them by not allowing them to be overcome by that storm. But he did allow them to face the storm. I can't help but think that the disciples learned a powerful lesson on that day. I would like to think that that lesson would help them as they would later carry out the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. As we do so, let's look at chapter 15. We want to point out from this chapter that Jesus showed how he is the good shepherd by finding lost sheep. Chapter 15, let's look at verses 1 and 2. These verses show us how two groups of people reacted to the Lord. Verse 1 says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Here Luke mentions the tax collectors and other sinners. These are people who needed what the Lord came to provide. They knew it. They recognized that they were sinners. They also recognized that Jesus came to save them. So they drew near to him. They approached him. For what purpose? They wanted to hear him. I've always appreciated that statement. These people drew near to the Lord to hear him. Now, in the Gospels, we read about a number of people who were in the Lord's audiences who were not there with the right motive. Sometimes there were people there looking for something to use against him. Sometimes he was asked trick questions that were designed to entrap him. These people were there with the right motives. They drew near to the Lord to hear him. And I can't help but think that that put a smile on the Lord's face, knowing that these people came to hear what he had to tell them. But then verse 2 says, "And the Pharisees and scribes," these are religious people, "murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." How sad. The Jewish religious leaders murmured against the Lord. They criticized him for associating with publicans and sinners, and even having the audacity to eat with them. Well, Jesus came to save the publicans and the sinners. He actually came to save the Pharisees and the scribes. But they did not recognize their sins. They thought that they were in good standing with God. The Lord pointed out otherwise. So we have two groups of people reacting to the Lord in two different ways. On the one hand, the publicans and the sinners drew near to the Lord to hear what he had to say. And then there were the Pharisees and the scribes who murmured against him. Well, in verses 3 through 6, as well as the rest of the chapter, Jesus had some things to say for the benefit of those who murmured against him. Now, we want to look at the first parable because it involves a lost sheep, and we're pointing out that Jesus is the good shepherd. Verse 3, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying," you know, it's interesting how many times the Lord faced a difficult situation and he turned it into a teaching opportunity. And what he had to say has been recorded for our benefit. And while on the one hand I might be upset with the scribes and the Pharisees for treating the Lord the way that they did, it provided the opportunity for the Lord to tell the parable of the prodigal son. And I'd like to know how many times I've preached from that great parable over the years. Well, let's read the parable about the lost sheep. "He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." The Lord was illustrating through this parable how there is joy in heaven when a lost sheep is found. And our Lord said so in verse 7. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now think about that for a moment. The Pharisees and the scribes trusted in their own righteousness. They did not see themselves as sinners. Did they cause any joy to be experienced in heaven? No. But what about that one sinner that the good shepherd found and brought him home? He caused great rejoicing to take place. Jesus showed that there's joy in heaven when a lost sheep is found. I think we can see our Lord demonstrating how he is the good shepherd. You see, he knew the value of one soul. Now think about a shepherd with a tremendous number of sheep. If he loses one, he might take the approach of, well, I've got all these others over here. I won't miss that one. Well, that's the way a shepherd might view his flock, but not the good shepherd. The good shepherd knows when one sheep is missing, and he's concerned about that sheep. And when he's found, there is great rejoicing in heaven. Jesus knew the value of one lost soul. Only a good shepherd would have such great wisdom. Now let's turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 8. And we want to see that Jesus showed how he is the good shepherd by protecting and saving a lost sheep. John chapter 8. Let's start at verse 1. Now there are some who actually say that these verses don't belong in the Bible. Well, I believe they do. Let's read what happened. We're able to learn something very special about our Lord from what's recorded. John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. On this occasion, Jesus was asked to pass sentence on the woman taken in adultery. I think we'd all agree that this poor woman was a lost sheep. She was caught in the act of adultery. She was accused by a hostile group of men. They were using her, or trying to use her, to find something that they could use against the Lord. Now, they told Jesus what the law said about punishment for adultery, but they didn't quite get it right, because the law said that both the man and the woman were to be put to death. My question is, where was the man? Do you remember that commercial from Wendy's a long time ago? I think the lady's name was Clara. She said, Where's the beef? Well, my question is, where's the man? That has led some to suppose that maybe the man involved was one of the Pharisees. Anyway, he wasn't brought forward, only the woman. But I think we'll agree that she was a lost sheep. She had been caught in sin. She had some hostile accusers. And she may have very easily lost her life. Jesus protected this woman. But in addition to protecting her, he saved her. Now, it might have been easy for the Lord to say, I'm not getting involved in this situation. I'm just not going to get involved. But you see, Jesus is the good shepherd, and a good shepherd doesn't act like that. The good shepherd knows the value of one lost sheep, and he's going to do whatever he can to save that sheep when it's in danger. I can just imagine the Lord stooping over and writing on the ground. And it certainly appears from what John recorded that these people became quite adamant in wanting to know what the Lord was going to do about it. They should have stopped when they were behind, but they didn't. They pushed it. And finally the Lord said, Let him that is without sin among you first cast a stone at her. You see, that had to do with the instructions from the Old Testament about punishment, about capital punishment by stoning. Well, these people finally had their consciences touched, and they left. I wish one of them would have said, Lord, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, they left, and they didn't harm the woman. But wouldn't it have been special if just one of those hostile accusers would have said, "Lord, please forgive me," and then turned to the woman and asked for her forgiveness? But it didn't happen. They all left. Well, Jesus protected this woman as a good shepherd would, but he also saved her. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. Well, throughout the scriptures, Jesus is shown over and over again to be the good shepherd. Now, in John chapter 10, he stated twice that he's the good shepherd, and he explained why he's the good shepherd. But over and over again, as we go through the gospel accounts, we see our Lord demonstrating the fact that he truly is the good shepherd. Well, as we study the scriptures today, let's grow in our knowledge of the Lord as our good shepherd. Now, we're to strive to continually grow in our knowledge of the Lord, but we've been trying to emphasize the fact that we need to especially appreciate the fact that he is the good shepherd. And you know, a sheep looks to the good shepherd for what he needs. And he depends upon the good shepherd. Are you a sheep? I heard a preacher one time ask a question after dealing with very similar matters. He asked the audience, "What group are you in? Are you a sheep or are you a goat?" Now think about that. That's an interesting question, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I want to be a sheep. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand to sing the song that's been selected, Brother Jay.